Hey, it's K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KG2GDQ. How are you this morning?
Well, so far so good. Starting out, the roads were a little slick, but it seems like once I got out of the village of Alden, that pretty much cleared up. At least I'm sort of blind to it. The side roads definitely, our parking lot, Park Street, Emerson, even like right in the village there were like kind of like dusted over and slick. As I'm approaching town line here, things are down to black pavement. They've got plenty of salt on there and it seems to be working. So yeah, drives nice. It's only Tuesday, so I can't really get too excited about the weekend yet. But cruising along. Yeah, good morning. How are things with you?
Things are good this morning. Woke up, so that's a good thing. Overall, just looking forward to the day. Was able to go for a walk yesterday afternoon. I felt that the temperatures were definitely doable. So I did that. I'm hoping to go for another walk today with the weather. And I'm wondering, I'm hearing a lot of static on Ross's node this morning. Are you hearing the same thing, or is it because the way you're connected, you don't hear it?
Well, let me do this. You should be hearing me direct right now without Ross's node in between. Does this make a difference at all?
Yes, it does. I guess the correct term is you're all quiet, so you're coming in very strong.
Okay, then I don't have a good answer for you if this connection route or this RF link here is fixing the issue. I don't know what to say.
I guess it's all just part of the hobby, right?
Well, at some point you need to, continuously make changes, improvements, improve that signal-to-noise ratio. If that continues to be a problem, then look at alternate methods to, well, Ross could always increase his power, which I don't think he really wants to do because that's a lot of coverage already for the for a single node. I guess maybe looking at changing where your antenna is, or changing, adding some ground radials or something along those lines, or because that already does have those in the kit, doesn't it? Maybe some elevation, better line of sight, those kind of things.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that there's nothing wrong with my antenna or my connections. The more I've been learning, I guess I should have wrapped the connector to the antenna with some electrical tape. I guess, I can still do that. I just haven't done it yet. But I should be doing that just to make sure that it stays waterproof. And I've seen on different channels where these guys use some other type of tape, and I can't remember what they call it.
Yeah, there's one quite popular one called coax seal, and that's like a, I don't want to call it like a tarry, but it's like this like sticky rubbery tape that really sticks to itself. It'll stick to your fingers a little too, but once you push that on and squish it together, it really forms like a pretty good waterproof boot. And you kind of like press it around a little, like sort of like you would JB Weld a little, and you pinch out the seams. Maybe like you would on a like an empanada or ravioli or something. You're gonna close it up as you wrap over the coax seal and then push it on. It sort of molds to it, and with time, it really makes quite a good seal, uniform. What's the word? Not homogeneous, because it's really all one material to begin with. But it doesn't have any openings in it.
okay. I think I might have something like that. I do have a back electrical tape. Now that it's a little bit warmer, and I can probably work outside without gloves, I can probably go do that and make sure that that connection to the antenna is solid.
Yeah, and definitely do not use JB Weld unless you never want to take it apart again. This stuff you can, you won't be able to just, you know, peel it off easily, but with a utility knife you can slice it and cut it off like a boot. But it's easy to find. I think you can get it in most, you can get it on Amazon, electrical supply stores. It's not just used for antennas.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. But I've also been doing some research into new cable. And there's what, an RG213. You know, I saw a comparison. I think it was RG213 comparing to LMR400 and the advantages and disadvantages of each. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting paralysis by analysis. I'm trying to figure out where to go next.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, it's the trade-off, right? So what frequencies am I operating on? Now, you're right here for this antenna, you're UHF and VHF, so loss is going to be considerable. If you're going to buy more of it for HF, you're going to find that the loss is going to be less as you go down in frequency. You may want a different coax for your HF versus your VHF, UHF. You might want to buy a big spool. You might want to buy one spool that does it all, and that way you know what it is, and the price is right. You got a discount with the spool. You're right. It's a lot of decisions and what you're willing to spend. Short lengths, you probably get some really nice stuff. You want a 100-foot cable on HF, then you got to think, well, is the added cost of this cable worth the 1 dB I'm going to lose? That's a tough decision to make.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, what frequencies do I want to transmit on? You know, like the LMR400 goes, I think it goes up to almost 6 gigahertz, so there's not a lot of loss there. The RG213 was good up through VHF, but not so much on UHF. So, yeah, you know, this one guy that I watch a lot, Josh on Ham Radio Crash Course, he runs two lines, both LMR400 from his antenna outside to inside his shack. But yeah, it's expensive. It's like almost $2 a foot. So if you're looking at a 100-foot run, that gets to be expensive.
The other thing to take in consideration is the outer jacket has different ratings, especially for UV exposure. And that's something else you'll want to take into consideration. I have to assume that this is going to be exposed to the elements and not buried. And even buried, that's another, I guess that's another spec you need to consider, because some are intended to be variable.
Right. Yeah, I think the LMR 400 is variable. I don't know. I can't remember if the RG213 was. I know the RG213 has stranded copper center conductor versus the LMR, which is a solid. So, yeah. And I was looking at a sheet that broke down all the different types of coax. And their losses at different frequencies and stuff like that. So learning a lot, just trying to get it all sorted through. I guess one of these days I'll just have to pull out a pad of paper and start writing down the advantages, disadvantages, and what I want to do.
You know, one other thing you can do, now that we have these tools at our disposal, because they're all tools, right, is to use AI to say, hey, can you compare these models? I'd like to use it for this application, this frequency range. What are the benefits, advantages, disadvantages of each of these that I should consider? And then can you provide any alternatives, any alternate part numbers I should also be considering? And, of course, it's AI, and it's not an exact science today, but it might give you some direction, maybe some things you didn't consider, and then fact check it yourself. Go back to the data sheet. Does this make sense? Is with the AI calculated correct? And yeah, just another way to go about it. All right, this is K2PCB.
Yeah, I haven't used AI very much. I suppose I should. I know Karen does. She uses it for different things. I should probably start using it. This is KE2GDQ.
Anyone else want to pop in and give their thoughts? This is K2PCB.
KE2NBM, good morning. AI is kind of fun. You kind of have to set up your GPT. I've introduced myself. Listed all my little hobbies and quirks and toys and what I like to do, what I don't like to do, and then whenever I ask a question, it takes all of that into consideration when giving me my final answer. Trust but verify. AI says one thing, you want to make sure that one thing is true, depending on what you want to look at, but AI is very helpful and resourceful.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Well, yeah, I will have to look into that and see how to set it up.
So when I was setting up my home network, I was telling each model number of what I had and how I wanted to interconnect it. And then I'm like, okay, I have a HackRF. It's this model. I have a Booker Zero. I have this accessory for it. And so I like to build things. I like to troubleshoot. I'm a leather crafter, so I like to play with leather and stitching, and so at any time it answers, it kind of will pull resources from that and be like, hey, since you're a leather crafter, you could always make something like this as a carry case, or if you want to make a Faraday cage, you could make your own Faraday cage rather than buy one for like making like a little backpack or a sleeve for your phone so that it can be protected.
All right, well, I guess you guys convinced me. I guess I got to start using AI.
It's almost a little creepy when it suggests, oh, yeah, since you like making stuff out of leather, you just need to get this, like, copper material, and you can use it and make a Faraday cage. Just don't use zippers and just have a roll with snaps, and you'll be fine. Like, it's creepy, but it pays attention.
And just like having a conversation with your neighbor, you don't have to tell them everything. You only tell them what you want to tell them, or AI, to build that profile, or not at all, just specifically for that project and leave it at that. But Jeff's right. The more information you provide, even if you start a new thread or a new chat, because you're working on a new project, it is really cool when it does reference previous conversation. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Because you told me back in this project that this was an issue. Is this still a problem? And that's kind of neat. It does make it feel a little more personal, and like it's trying to help you.
So I have ChatGPT on my desktop Linux machine. And then I also have it on my phone, and I use the same account, so it knows conversations I've had with each. And it'll say, the other day, we're doing this, and so it is kind of fun. A little creepy at times, but fun.
All right, speaking of fun, it's been fun chatting with you guys this morning at 6:45, so I'm going to step out. This is K2PCB. I am clear, and I'll let you guys continue on.
I was going to try to park super close to where you couldn't get out of your car, but I said that is just a dick move.
73s to you both. This is KE2GDQ. Looking for KC2PET.
KC2GDQ. KC2PET. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ross. How is the weather today? A little bit warmer for you?
It is much, much warmer. Actually, you can walk outside. I don't have to shrug my shoulders. So I try to keep body heat in.
I hear you. Yesterday I went for a walk in the afternoon because it was above 20 degrees, and it felt good to walk, but it felt good to be outside for a little bit, too. I'm hearing a bunch of static on your node this morning. Are you hearing the same thing?
No, I'm not. Actually, it's coming in pretty clear. I'll go back and look at it again. Maybe my connector has backed themselves off again.
Yeah, coming in simplex, you're loud and clear. I just wanted to make sure that it's not my antenna or my connections, but you're coming in all quiet.
All right, that's what I've got to go look at. At least that's what is the same problem I've been having. I can fix that.
Yeah, there's always something going on, isn't there? I was talking to Travis about cable and, you know, what kind of cable do I want to get, you know, and then I start thinking, well, how many different antennas am I going to have up, and how do I hook them all up, and, oh my God, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, it can get pretty overwhelming. There's a lot of options, a lot of different ways to do it, too. My node seems to be coming in just like it normally does, so, I don't know, let's look into that. Maybe it's just the way the day is today, fabrication.
Yeah, maybe there's some sort of interference in my neighborhood that comes and goes. I don't know what it would be, but that very well could be just because of temperature change and stuff that's going on. So I'll have to see maybe what tomorrow brings.
Maybe I have to ask AI, see what it says. I don't want to use that thing at all. It doesn't interest me to use that thing at all.
Yeah, I hear you there, Ross. Karen uses it. I've heard other people use it. I know Travis and Jeff are using it. I'm just leery, but I think I'm going to give it a try.
You know me, I'm probably more old-fashioned. I'd rather use my brain than have a computer figure it out for me. That way it's locked in my memory, and I don't have to ever go back to it and look for it again. And plus, you may learn from that, from other experiences. But it's just me. I would always keep coming back to the movie The Terminator. When AI, I think this is how The Terminator started, at least how the movie kind of talked the way it is. So, here we are. We got AI, so, and we do have robots that run AI. So I don't know. Hopefully, the Terminator is not next.
Yeah, that all makes sense. That definitely does, Ross. I agree with you. I think if you figure it out yourself, you're more likely to retain that information than if it's just spoon-fed to you. So yeah. You know, that's like doing this cable stuff. If I figure it out, then I'm probably going to know more in the long run.
I do know they have somebody tried to get hired at our work to get hired. That thing AI did their resume. It sounds too professional to be somebody that could just, you know, type it out by hand. Seems like, yeah, it was very, like I said, professional.
Oh, wow, I never thought about that, but that makes sense, people doing resumes with AI. When I first started looking for work, now that was almost 40 years ago. Wow. I did go to a professional resume writer to get started. And then I would just tweak it as I went along. Yeah, that was way before AI. Now you got me thinking. I wonder if I could take my resume, run it through AI, and see what would happen. That would be very interesting.
I'm sure it'll set up something pretty good. It will tell me you're an engineer, you work in this field for many years, you work here, there, it'll probably sit back, oh yeah, here's this employee's or this person's blah, 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 it'll sit it all back out to you and make it sound really good.
Yeah, that may be fun to do, just because I don't plan on going back to work, so that may be kind of fun.
Keep thinking, if the frames keep doing it, with this whole, I think it's my antenna again, my antenna connection. That's right in the radio. I'm going to have to switch out radios. I do have a backup one. I probably should let that one play for a while. And let that stay in the switch radios and let that one talk for a while. And I could probably fix the other one. It's weird. It's, like I said, Motorola's easy pretty good. This is their one flaw, I think it is, it's right in the antenna jack. So the thing is, it's working, it's rerouting its ground for the antenna. So it's going through the electrical ground, and then into the ground, and then probably back up the lightning resistor. Lightning resistor, which is grounded also as well. So they're making like a ground loop. So technically it's still grounded, but not the way I want it to be.
Okay, so are you hearing it? Are you hearing the same thing I am? The static coming back?
I do hear a little bit. It's not, from my end, it's just a little weaker signal. I'm seeing it's not really static.
Okay, it was definitely a weaker signal because I had a harder time hearing Travis and Jeff this morning.
Well, it did go from minus 17 all the way up to now where we're at 24. So I'm sure stuff expanded at that point. Probably, it probably lost connection again.
Yeah, a friend of mine keeps saying that we live in one of the harshest climates because he said, you think about it, we go from a 90-degree day down to, 10 degrees or minus 10, and you're looking at a 100-degree swing.
Oh, I was thinking maybe the Amazon. I know they have big swings all the time during their summer.
The Amazon jungle?
Oh, the Amazon desert. I think they have big temperature swings like that a lot during their summer.
Yeah, some of the deserts. I remember being in Vegas, and like today, it might get up to like 60 degrees, but it would definitely drop down to like 30, maybe even 20 at night. So you're getting a pretty good temperature swing each and every day.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to live near tornadoes. I think that's even more extreme the temperature. Tornadoes definitely do not want to live in an area with those. Speaking, I spike it in Brad, so I'll say 73 to you. KE2 GDQ, KC2 PET. Have a good day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
KC2 PET, this is KE2 GDQ, 73. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, and we are clear of this channel.